sitting down with Lonnie Pallister, silver and bronze medalist at the 2022 World Championships for Australia. Man, you've had quite the up and down week. We were just talking about it. But you know, you win a medal, your first individual medal at a World Championships. You win a relay medal for the prelims heat in Australia. Then you test positive for COVID. can you just kind of take me through your week and how you've dealt with this roller coaster of a first World Championships?
Yeah, sure. So I saw a quote on Instagram and it was something like, no one queues for a flat roller coaster. So I guess it's a little bit funny looking at the end of my week now being like, it was really a massive up and a massive down. But I really came to the meet and I was just excited to race. You know, I had the year from hell last year. So after swimming the 400 heat, that was my second fastest time ever, just in the heat swim alone. So I was excited to just get in knowing that I was on form from trials 3 weeks ago and see what could happen. Leah Smith did touch me out by 0.08, and it's so hard to be sad with that because Leah is the most beautiful human ever. It's like the first time I'd met her and she was so lovely and just so welcoming, like coming into the senior team and senior area and that sort of thing. So it was fourth on night one, and then I swam the 1500 heat day two and had like a day and a half to recover, and then dropped a 7-second PB and won my first individual medal, which was so cool. If someone 6 months ago had have said that I'd be getting an individual medal at World Champs, I'd say they're lying or they're a little bit, you know. So yeah, it's been crazy. It's been really cool to be around everyone. This is the first time I've been overseas in 3 years. So the last time I traveled was Budapest 2019. So it's kind of been a full circle moment for me, having my last junior meet in Budapest and now my first senior meet in Budapest.
So that's the first half of the meet.
Yeah.
and then the second half, you were just telling me this off camera, which is a great story. I think the second half of the meet, you went to a psychic before this meet and they said that you were going to do great and that you were not going to catch COVID.
Yeah. So she didn't say the COVID specific part, but I kind of read into it too much. And I was like, she said, I'm going to have a great meet, which I did. Like, if you look at the first half of the meet, it's, you know, like everything I wanted and more. And I was telling the whole team, like, we had a COVID scare the week before we left. And I was like, psychic, didn't see COVID in my future. And then I tested positive the day of the 800 heat. So I saw the 800 heat. It was the easiest 800 I'd ever done. And then got back to my hotel room and wanted to look after my roommate because I didn't want to get her sick because I had a sore throat on the Wednesday. And then the faintest little line showed up and it was kind of just all downhill from there. So I thought it was a false positive initially and that I'd still be able to race the 800 final the next day. But I woke up the next day and COVID hit me like a truck anyway. So regardless if I had have done the test, I don't think I would have even finished an 800.
So you ended up getting it. Emotionally, again, after having such a great start to the meet, how did you deal with it? How did you deal with not being able to compete? Especially, like you said, you swim the heats of the 800. It feels great. You're like, oh man, I think this is going to be a really good final. And then you get hit with COVID and you can't compete the rest of the meet.
Yeah. When I first found out I had COVID, I was pretty much on the floor of my hotel room, like in fetal position crying. And to be fair, anyone in my position would have been the exact same thing because no one else on my team had tested positive. No one else around me I knew had tested positive. And I was like, where did I get it from? So yeah, I had to pull out, was bawling my eyes out for probably 6 hours that day. Woke up the next morning and went straight back to watching the swimming. So for the past, I'm going to say close to 4 years, I watched four senior teams in a row from home because I've missed the team by like one spot. So I remember sitting at home watching the Olympics last year and watching all of the heats and that sort of thing. So watching the heats the morning of the 800, so like the day after I tested positive, was kind of just rehashing that. And I was like, oh my God, like this is not a position I ever want to be in again. So whether or not it was missing a team or catching COVID, I think it's something that you have to go through. So for me going forward, I'll take more precautions with, I guess, hand sanitizer, wear a mask more often because I was relatively flippant with it. Like I wasn't super regimented on wearing a mask in and out of the pool and while I was activating. And
were a lot of people though? But
not like, really. I know Erica, I was talking to Erica Fairweather this morning from New Zealand and she tested positive as well. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to her and she was saying she wore a mask absolutely everywhere and she still managed to catch it. So whether or not we caught it in like the pool or just walking around outside, it's just kind of nuts, but it's also interesting. I think only a couple have come forward and said they've actually tested positive. So I didn't want it to come out to media. I wanted to just like keep it to myself. And then Swimming Oz were like, no, like we have to tell Fina and all the rest of it. So it'll be interesting to see how many athletes come out in a couple months and say, oh, I did have COVID and just didn't tell anyone or that sort of thing.
Yeah. Anyway. That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about that, but kind of a weird, I mean, obviously just a weird world championships in general with that happening and with such a packed schedule. So are you're slated, I'm guessing, for Commonwealth Games as well?
A lot less. So the 1500 isn't at Commonwealth Games. So I already lose 3K of racing, which is kind of a blessing because I think I've only done 4 1500s in the past 2 years anyway. So I didn't do a single 1500 last year. I did one in March of this year, one at trials, and then obviously two here. So I've only done a couple. So to have kind of that event taken out of commies is allowing me to kind of focus on the 400 more and see if I can put that race together better again and then actually really attack the 800 without having that 3K of racing fatigue behind me.
Sure. So how does this affect your prep for that? I mean, like, when do you get back in a pool again? When do you join Team Australia again?
Yeah, so everyone left me today, which is so sad. So I think there's maybe from the pool team, one of the boys had to have a melanoma cut out of his back. So he's still here, but he leaves tomorrow, but not that I can see him anyway. And then all of them left for Spain today. And with Spain's COVID rules, I'd have to isolate for 11 days before flying into Spain, which means I'd be there for 2 days before flying out again. So Swimming Oz were like, okay, we'll just leave you with the open water team, which is with my mom anyway. So it's not like I'm in a foreign environment. Like I've got a coach that I'm comfortable with, but just not 30 athletes. I think there's 6 or 7 of us now, but yeah. So we go straight to Shards from Budapest rather than going Spain and Shards. So it's just going to be a very long staging camp in France for me.
Okay. So they take a few weeks in Spain, go to Chartres for in France, and then from there, is it Birmingham?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're in France they'll be in France for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't leave Budapest until I think the 1st of July now. So it's like an extra 6 days here, which is fine because once I'm finally let out of my hotel room, I'll go and explore a little bit without worrying about catching COVID again because I'll have a little bit of immunity after this bout of it.
Yeah.
I think I'll go and watch the open water team compete at the World Cup, which is exciting. And I get to spend a weekend in Paris. So I'll go see the Eiffel Tower, go to the Louvre, do all the real touristy stuff while they're all racing.
Nice.
Positive.
Well, at least there's a silver lining there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's really cool. So it's, yeah, definitely an up and down week in Budapest for you. I'm glad you have such a positive attitude about it. But it seems like your last couple of years have kind of had some pretty severe ups and downs. With you missed an Olympic team, you got a heart surgery, you're dealing with an eating disorder. Are those things that you'd feel comfortable discussing now?
Yeah, I think the reason I didn't speak about it last year is because I didn't want people to come out with like me missing the Olympic team and being like, oh, she's just making excuses. And I know I guess it's kind of blunt, like putting it that way, but I think a lot of sports people are crucified in that kind of aspect. So I was like, well, as soon as I made the team after trials, I was happy to talk about it, but I didn't want to overshadow what I kind of did at trials anyway with my racing. So, in March of last year, in January. So I broke 2 short course national records at the back end of 2020. And then I missed all of my long course PBs by like point something at our last long course meet in 2020. And I was told if I want to swim my best times, I had to be the same weight I was when I swam those times. So I think I was just turned 17. I'd barely been in the gym. And that meant like I had to lose 4 kilos. And I, rather than kind of talk about it and speak to a nutritionist or that sort of thing about it, I just kind of took it upon myself to be like, well, you do what you have to do. So I was training 17 times a week at that point. I was swimming 9 times, gymming 3 times, Pilates. I think I was running 12K a week and 2 spin sessions. So I was doing heaps and heaps and heaps, and it didn't come from Bali or my mom. So that, like, that's always something that I have to clear up, that it's not like a coaching thing. And the next step for me was, well, if I'm doing all this training, I must just be eating too much. So I kind of just completely cut out food. So I was having lunch at midday. So I wasn't having anything between waking up, training, and then getting home. So I'd have lunch, breakfast in the middle of the day, and then I'd have coffee really late afternoon before training, because coffee curbs your appetite. And then I'd have dinner when I get home, and that was pretty much it every day. So I don't know how I was swimming the times in training I was that year, because I was still training like really well. I think I did the one really memorable set I have from like that kind of pre-Olympic training block was 10 400 short course, all suited. And I went, I think it was in a block of 4, 3, 2, and then 1. And my first 4 were like 4:13s to 4:15s. The next 3 were 4:09, 4:09, 4:10. I went, the next 2 were 4:05, 4:07. And then I dived to 3:59. So for me, I was kind of like, oh, well, there's nothing wrong. Like if I'm diving a 3:59 at the end of a 4K main set, like I'm doing everything right. And I think it was really easy for me to hide because I wasn't living with my mum. So I was living with my best friend, and she does a complete other sport. So we'd train at different times. So we'd be home and eating at different times. So I was pretty much lying to literally everyone in my life about it, which is so sad, because I think that's the first thing that as soon as I spoke up about it, everyone was like, oh my God, I had no idea. And eating disorders and stuff like that are so insidious that you have no idea. And the person that's kind of like putting themselves through it also think that there's absolutely nothing wrong. So that was kind of the first thing that kind of started a snowball effect in last year. So because I wasn't eating, my immune system was just shot. So I was getting sick constantly. It put excess pressure on my heart, and I already had the condition. So I'd had the condition for like 6 years, but I was only getting like episodes of my heart maybe once every 3 or 4 months. And the less that I ate, the more frequently it was happening. And it went from happening once every couple of months to happening like 3 times a week. And basically what SVT is you have 2 like nodes in your heart that control like the electrical impulses. So, which is like the heart contracting and that sort of thing. So I had one that was misfiring, and rather than completing the full like electrical loop, it was having like a little short circuit and would send my heart rate to like 270 beats a minute. Yeah, nuts. And I'd almost like my eyesight would just black out, and I'd have to get out of the pool, wait for it to slow down, and then I'd just get back in and keep training. So I went and saw a cardiologist, and he was like, yeah, we can fix it, like simple procedure. And they just go through the femoral vein in your leg, and they insert like a camera, a cathode, an electrode, something else. And they pump adrenaline through your arm and try and like spike the short circuit. And when they do, they just burn the nerve that causes it. And that's pretty much it to fix it. I think I was out of the water for 2 days. Surgery was successful. It hasn't happened again since. So that's a permanently fixed issue, which is good. And then it wasn't until after trials that I found out I had glandular fever, influenza A, influenza B, and an iron deficiency. So at trials, like I raced the 400 and the heat was so easy. I think I went like 406 in the heat. Everything was shaping up to like be really good. Like I was expected to make the team, all that sort of thing. And then at like 200 meters of the final of the 400, I just had no energy. Like had never felt like that before in a race in my entire life. Did the 200 heat the next day, missed the final. And every warm up I did, like my pace 50s just got slower and slower. Like normally I'll sit around 29 lows if I'm doing pace 50s, and I was getting up to like 31.5, 31.7. And I was like, this isn't good. So I pulled the 15 in hopes that I could recover a little bit for the 800. And then the morning of the 800, I pulled it and was just kind of beside myself. And then, yeah, I came home, had a week and a half off, did blood tests, had to go see a dermatologist. I had a skin infection for almost 4 months that was misdiagnosed twice. Had glandular that, because I didn't know about, the glandular turned into post-viral fatigue. iron deficiency. So I had pretty much 4 months out of the water off the back end of trials where I did literally nothing. So I think that was good in the aspect that I gained all of the weight back. So I started seeing my psychologist, seeing a nutritionist. Everyone was kind of like, oh, like if you need anything, let me know. And I remember going back to the pool, I think it was like 2 weeks after trials, and I saw the pool and just like burst into tears. Like just being back at the pool hurt me that much. So I was pretty much ready to give it away in the 4 months that I had off, which is so crazy to look at now because now I've got a world championship bronze medal. And then I left my mom. So my mom became Bowley's full-time coach, assistant coach, sorry. And now I train with Bowley full-time. So there were so many changes on the back end of last year that I was like, well, if this doesn't work, then I probably won't keep swimming. Which once again, now that I'm sitting here, is so odd because I'm living the dream. Even with COVID, I'm still living the dream. And then in November of last year, I was still like a little bit sick and could barely breathe. And I was like, well, while I'm out of the water, like I may as well go see what else is wrong. So I went and saw a sleep physician and an ear, nose and throat specialist. So they told me I have sleep apnea. So I think I wake up like 30 times an hour or something, like micro wake ups. So I sleep horribly, snore really bad, all the rest of it. And then the ear, nose and throat specialist said I had a deviated septum and large turbinates, which are like little round things in your nose that react to pollen, and chronic hay fever. So he was like, let's just do a functional rhinoplasty. So I had a nose job at the back end of last year to fix my breathing, which is heaps better now as well. So there's a lot of things kind of behind the scenes last year that happened that when I like list them up one after the other, it's kind of like I literally couldn't have caught anything else except COVID to make the year worse.
Had to check that one off your list.
I got it. I got there.
that's a bingo.
Yeah. I've won the lottery.
Yeah, seriously. Holy moly.
Yeah.
So then why did you get back in the pool? Like, how did you get, right? Like you took this 4 months off, you get everything kind of sorted, but then again, like why would you have kept swimming after that?
I have no idea. I don't even know what made me get back in the pool, because when I first started back training, I was doing 20-50s with fins on 2 minutes, and I wasn't allowed to get my heart rate above 100. So I was swimming so slow, so much recovery, like 6 kilometers a week. That was it. Like literally doing absolutely nothing. I had to drive an hour away from my home to do like health testing on a watt bike to see what my carbohydrate output was. On like a 15 minute test to see like at what point of glandular fever I was in and if the post-viral fatigue was getting any better or that sort of thing. So it was nuts. And the amount of specialist appointments I had on the back half of last year and like physio mass up, like just literally everything piled on top of each other. I think I've lost track of how many there actually were, but I had friends that were like, oh, like it's so good to see you at the pool every day, and still some of my best friends now. And then Bowley told me that Mac Horton was moving to the squad, and then Kaylee moved, Brendan moved, Bowen Goff moved, one of my best friends from WA, Josh Edwards moved. And I was like, well, I can't give it away now that there's so many fun people joining the squad, and it's not going to be a group of, I think 9 or 10 of us, there's 22. And I was like, well, I kind of want to be a part of that. So they, when Mac and Bowen moved up from Victoria, I think I was swimming 2K a session, maybe 4 times a week, and that was it. So I went from swimming maybe 8K. I got the whole way back up to 30K, had the nose job, had to have 2 weeks out of the water to fix my nose and let all that heal. And then I started back at 30K and finally built back up to 60, maybe by halfway through January. And then it wasn't until event camps, maybe halfway through Feb, that my training actually started to progress to like decent pace work. So I look at the times that I've swum here, and there's by no means am I disappointed with them. Like looking forward, obviously I want to keep improving, and there's already things that I've done like race analysis wise that I'm like, I can fix this event here, here and here, but I'm still very happy with what I've achieved on what's happened to me in like the past year.
No kidding. Oh my god.
Hey.
I'm not really aware. Glandular fever. Can you explain that one?
Yeah. So in America, I think they call it mono.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it. I had mono.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Glandular fever, right?
Yeah.
That's a big laundry list. So again, just emotionally, I mean, I'm sure you went through the spectrum, but just once you got back into swimming, when you were first starting to get back into the pool, was it hard to, I mean, I know you said the first time you got on pool deck, you just like cried. You're like, I can't be here. But, did it, I mean, I'm guessing it got easier, but how did you deal with all that? How did you process getting back into something that had caused so much pain before?
So I ended up speaking to, I never used a psychologist this frequently before, and he's still my psychologist now, and he's phenomenal. So I ended up speaking to him once a week, if not more. And I think every single time I called him for at least 6 to 8 weeks was just an hour of me bawling my eyes out. And it would be about how slow I'm swimming, or the test results of like the watt bike testing, going backwards and me having to drop kilometers or drop intensity. And a lot of it was like, take 2 steps forward, then take 3 steps backwards, and then take maybe one more step forward. So it was really like a huge roller coaster trying to actually just get back into swimming any sort of like anything just consistently. And then it got to the nose job area. And then I bawled my eyes out there again, because I was like, I finally got back to 30K a week and then had to have like a full 2 weeks off. And then after that, everything kind of just fell into place for me. Like I stopped getting sick, except for COVID. Haven't been sick in 6 months until now. I almost caught COVID at New Year's. I had to drive a friend back to Brisbane and he was positive to COVID. And I drove him the whole way back. So it was like an hour and a half in my car, sitting next to this guy that had COVID, and I still managed to test negative. And I was like, okay, so I've either got it or I'm just really immune. And I had literally absolutely no issues this whole year. So I think the fact that I was able to turn everything around and be consistent from Feb the whole way through to June, and like trials being pushed back from April to the end of May for us, was the biggest blessing for me ever, because I'd had so much less work and so much less time to prepare for it than everyone else. So I think I had maybe 2 bad sessions in a span of 2 months, or 2 sessions that I wasn't happy with in a span of 2 months. Like I was so hellbent on just improving every single session and improving skills and lifting heavier in gym, swimming faster times, and it was nuts.
Yeah, that's quite the progression. So kudos to you, Lonnie Pallister. I mean, congrats. What a turnaround of life, let alone in the pool.
Yeah.
I'm pretty mind blown. So you're in Budapest for a little bit, then you go to France. What's on the agenda for today? How do you spend your time stuck in a hotel room by yourself?
What have I done today? Literally nothing. I'm trying to, one of the girls gave me these like Scooby strings, and it's like a little, I'm so bad at it, but it ends up being a cute little bag tag. So she gave me a whole packet of them to do. I'm on the Any Questions app. Brett Hawk put me onto it. So I've been just answering questions all day. I did the same thing on my Instagram story, texting friends outside being like, what are you doing? So at the moment, I'm kind of just living through other people. And I was meant to have maybe 3 days off in Barcelona anyway. So I think I'll only miss 2 or 3 days of training. And then it will take me maybe a week to get back into it, like a little bit, like ease back into it. So we don't want to develop long COVID, because that's just not fun. And that's not joining the laundry list. So, yeah, not much. I've got to start packing again. My mom comes up to the room every like hour and just sits outside my door and chats to me because she's here with the open water team. And a couple of the other athletes do that as well. Like I'll sit 2 meters back from my door and they'll sit against the wall and we'll both have masks on, like yelling at each other because we're sitting so far apart.
That's really nice of your teammates.
Yeah.
You got great teammates.
Some of them were just like, we're not coming anywhere near your level. And I was like, oh, okay. That's fun. Fair enough. I wouldn't want to catch COVID anyway.
Fair enough. You would say, so when can you get back in the pool?
So the rules in Europe are as soon as I'm not displaying like symptoms, I'm allowed to leave my room. So even if I'm still testing positive, but I'm not coughing or having a sore throat, technically I can leave.
Nice.
So FINA's rules though are 6 days isolation, which means this from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This is day 4. So I've got 2 full days left.
Okay.
And then I think they're going to try and facilitate for me to be able to go to the competition pool where we were competing and swim there. I'll probably be on my own again because they don't want to put me in with the open water athletes considering they're still racing this week and they're racing again in like a week and a half's time. Mm-hmm. But I think once I get back in, like it'll be fine. I wouldn't have lost much fitness anyway. I got a little bit sick after trials. I think I had like 2 days off post Australian trials this year, just was really run down with racing. And I seem to bounce back from it relatively quickly anyway. Now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a positive. Well, okay. So Lonnie, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and chat. Very enlightening conversation. I'm so happy to hear you're on the other side of a lot of this. Hopefully you'll be on the other side of this COVID bout really soon. Congrats on a great world championships. Do you have anything else to add before we sign off?
Thank you for having me. I think the last time we had a chat was 2020 while we were in isolation. So
yeah,
it's been a while, but it's nice to be back chatting again. Can't wait for Commonwealth Games.